Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, episode 15. Today we are asking, have you tried bulletproof coffee? What's your current breakfast strategy? And are you amping up your AMP kinase? Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor, episode 15. I am Relentless Roger, here with Dr. Colin Champ, the Caveman Doctor. What's going on, man?
Feeling stressed. A lot going on at work. But I do have some good news. My presentation for Ancestral Health Symposium, which was on a low carbohydrate diet for breast and prostate cancer, I wrote it up in a just breast cancer, but a similar paper describing a low carbohydrate diet for breast cancer and what receptors would be hit, etc. And it's got it back with minor revisions, and then it should be a go for a publication. So
huge.
Yeah. So maybe there is finally some turnaround on getting some of these low carb studies out there.
See that? AHS putting up quality presentations.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I'm pretty pumped about that. I know in the past we've started out with me telling you about the papers that have been rejected.
Now you got one on the books.
Now I got one on the books. What's up with you?
Congratulations, man.
Thanks. That's huge. A lot. Thanks.
On my end, it's been a relentless fitness focus week. We introduced Brian to the team. He's a new trainer at the facility, so he was in for a few training days this week. We're super stoked about that. And we're just bracing ourselves. Speaking of stress, we're bracing ourselves for a nasty September. We're going to have a in-studio transformation, and we're also going to be piloting a virtual transformation, doing a lot of coaching online this September. So it's going to be a pretty nasty couple months there. So you might have to carry me through some of these episodes.
All right. I'll buckle down here. I don't know.
That doesn't inspire confidence, man. You better have your A game on.
I think you may have to do the carrying. I think the fall is just it's a rough time. End of summer, everyone's kind of buckling down. The sun is setting earlier.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Melatonin secretion occurs earlier. People need to get to bed. All right, well, we'll pick each other up.
We'll pull it together. So yeah, man. Also, I'll give you a little anecdote. I'll give you a little case study from this past week that maybe helps some listeners out there. So I have a transformer in the studio right now. She's doing a solo program, and she came in for her second to last measurement at the end of last week, and we took a look at the scale, and I could tell she was initially a little bit disappointed. I think it was down between 8 and 9 pounds, and in her mind, I guess in a perfect world, it would have been down, you know, maybe double that, maybe 15, 16 pounds. And so we went then and we did our calipers, our body fat calipers, and we went and we did our measurements, and then we did our visual. We snap pictures every week, and it was a pretty awesome case study because, again, someone who was so disappointed in the numbers, I pulled up the picture for her right then and there, and I pointed out like an area of her back, and it was incredible how much it had changed. Nice. And almost immediately you could see the emotional shift. And I think in the context or in light of our conversation with Keith Norris last week, you know, he had brought up the case study about the soccer player who, you know, had kind of gone off the reservation and not taken his recommendations and had sacrificed all the muscle gain and mm-hmm. all that. So just to piggyback off that and present another case study for everyone else out there who is trying to make a change in their lives, just make sure you're not solely reliant on the scale. Because that scale is a tricky little thing.
Yeah.
And it really, I've seen it time and time again, these cases that the scale's not moving how you'd expect. And if you focus solely on it, you drive yourself bananas. So whether it's like Keith, he's got access to the top technology and he's going in for those DEXA scans. If you have access to something like that, you know, that tops out the list. But something you can do at home, you don't need a DEXA scan. Something you can do at home is just making sure you have those visual snapshots because, hey, your eyes don't lie, you know?
I heard Keith got a DEXA scan and the machine just exploded. is that true? Austin, Texas just blew up. Anyway, sorry.
I think Keith actually has a post where he went in for his own DEXA scan.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
We got to check it out.
Yeah, and then the machine started smoking.
That was it. No more Texas.
But seriously, for all you out there who are trying to make a change, make sure it is not just numbers. Make sure you at least have some visual, if not some amazingly technological visual like the DEXA.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So I got to just read one of these reader comments really quickly.
Do it.
So Dennis wrote into us recently, do you guys do the podcast in a bad neighborhood? I'm always hearing sirens in the background. Makes me check my mirrors when I'm listening while driving. Other than the sirens, love the podcast. Well, Dennis.
The truth is we have a soundboard, and about three times an episode we just hit a button. And it's the siren button.
Keep you on your toes. No, you know, you're not the only person to email us that. Your comment was one of the funniest, and it's Philadelphia. Now, we're right next to the hospital, so I think they're mostly ambulances, but it's still Philadelphia, so I'm sure a small portion of that is police. A small portion.
Unfortunately, there is no soundboard.
But no, we are safe here. We are not in a dangerous neighborhood. All right, sorry. So what do you got? You hit on the recent egg study, which...
Yeah, man. So to some of you, this might be new. To a lot of you, this might be old hat. And if so, I apologize. But the recent egg yolk, quote unquote, I got air quotes going on, study, really raised my ire. Less about the study itself, because we get red meat scares, we get egg scares every now and again.
At this point, there are
a dime a dozen. You can expect it. You can expect it. It just kind of gets a rise out of the general public. They're usually referencing poor studies, if you can call them that. But what really got my frustration up was I saw on the local circuit, the Philadelphia circuit, some secondary blogs parroting the primary blogs, which were parroting the study. And so what happens, and what I was very focused on, is that trickle-down effect where, you know, a study will come out, and the authors of the study will, they'll kind of end the study with, this is a hypothesis, this needs to be tested. You know, they're not breaking down doors saying egg yolks will kill you. They're kind of saying, hey, this raises a question, it needs to be tested. Then the primary blogs get a hold of it, and they present it as an argument with two sides. You know, hey, maybe they do have a sensationalist headline, but at least they present the other side in the article itself. Then the secondary blogs, the niche blogs, the local blogs, get a hold of those headlines, and they just drop out the other side of the argument. And that's what gets me good and ticked off, and that's why I wrote this piece, because I witnessed what happens next in that process, which is that my clients get a hold of it. And guess what? I'm a proponent of eggs. I feel like good quality eggs can be part of anyone's proper nutritional programming.
Should be part, right.
So I'll have some clients come back and say, oh my gosh, Roger, do you see this thing about eggs? And I'll say, where did you see that? And then I'll get a hold of these secondary blogs, and I'm looking at it like, oh my gosh, this is nothing more than a headline. This doesn't even present the other side to it. And then I'll go through a whole conversation with them. So I wrote down what that conversation would look like.
It's a good post. I'm glad you did it, because I was just angry when I read that article.
Yeah, man. It's really no good. And again, we can expect those studies, but I just want everyone to know how to deal with them, you know?
The best part of the study, those that ate the most eggs were 15 years older than those that ate the least. So, of course, they're going to have higher risks of everything, because with age, everything comes. But, you know, some of these studies, you could just say, oh, look, you're going to live longer if you eat more eggs. That could have been the story headline right there. Eggs equal immortality.
It's nonsensical. And in the article, I use the correlation does not equal causation. The famous one about the shark attacks and high ice cream sales, that, you know, when ice cream sales are at their highest, it causes shark attacks. And of course, that's silly, right? It's the seasonality. It's the summer months that cause both of those things, right? Ice cream sales skyrocket, as do shark attacks. That doesn't mean that ice cream sales impact shark attacks.
Yeah.
And it's kind of where we're going round and around and around
Your
here.
Your statistician can adjust for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So there's that. I'll post the link. Don't want to beat that one into the ground. I'm sure a lot of you have heard us, you know, yapping on about incomplete studies and whatnot.
So we have had a lot of emails, and we're not going to read them all, but we've had a lot of emails about breakfast foods.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of emails about what we thought about bulletproof coffee. And so, for those of you that don't know, bulletproof coffee is, basically it's organic, and it's very clean coffee, and, it's with, correct me if I get this wrong, so it's with medium chain triglycerides, so it's with, like coconut oil, and then in grass-fed butter, right? Or is it just...
I guess the way I think of bulletproof coffee is there's a Bulletproof coffee brand, and that's by a Bulletproof exec.
And that's the
Dave
clean.
Esprit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the coffee that he promotes. What I've taken, when I talk about Bulletproof coffee, I'm talking less about that brand of coffee as his recipe, which is basically any good coffee, right? And like you said, yeah, you're spot on. And in the recipe, it's with grass-fed butter and, in certain cases, MCT oil or, like you said, you know, coconut oil.
And I think before I even address the coffee, the issue where we've actually tried, you know, Bulletproof coffee per se, or have our own little modification. So the issue is eating breakfast, which I think breakfast is a good thing to eat. If you can fast till lunch, that's great. I see a lot of patients in the morning. If I fast till lunch, morning is torture for me. So I need to get some food in. I usually get up fairly early. I try to be up before 6. So that gets me some time before work, but it's not always possible. If I have a really late day, and I need to get my sleep, I don't get up early. So I do have issues some days because I love perfect breakfast for me is about five egg yolks.
Study, you're not concerned about the study, man? Have you heard about
egg yolks? It's worse than smoking, so I throw a couple cigs in there. I try to get kale or some other vegetables, but it's really hard for me to pound some vegetables in the morning. I get nauseated. I have a weak stomach, and if I eat too much, I get nauseated. So I don't want to turn to protein shakes in the morning. I've done it in the past. I don't think I'm at that point. But so next thing I do is, you know, I've tried Bulletproof coffee with grass-fed butter and medium-chain triglycerides.
Yep.
It's a good way to get in a ton of fat, a ton of calories, and no carbs. I never do well with carbs in the morning. I'm always hungry again 2 minutes later. So we're going to get personal here, but, I now do coffee with grass-fed butter, and I think are you in the same?
Yeah.
And, a lot of grass-fed butter. And I think it's good. It tastes good. I put in a little bit of cream too.
Okay.
And so, you know, you get in 300 plus calories, for your day and not as hungry till lunch. I tried to put coconut oil in.
Yeah.
And it just does. I try to put as much coconut oil in food as I can. It doesn't go so well with me.
Yeah.
And putting it in coffee, I'm not going to lie. I've tried it a handful of times, and I literally was in the room with a patient, and I like ran out because my stomach was not up to the task. Too much information, but maybe that's just me. Maybe it's an N equals one.
Well, here's a question for you. When you do that, do you eat anything else with it?
No.
See, that might be an issue.
I did a shake and kale one time, and it still happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on N equals one.
But, right. But what about Bulletproof coffee with,
well,
you know, some solid food?
If I'm really trying to get my calories up,
yeah,
I'll do Bulletproof coffee and the egg yolks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you're hitting, if I'm really training hard, you're hitting 800 calories for breakfast.
Sure.
And yeah, you know, frankly, every day, if I could, I would do a big breakfast. I love a big breakfast.
Yeah, man.
It's just a time. If my time is short, I can't get up and just pound a big breakfast because I go to work not feeling great.
Not always practical.
So just grass-fed butter and coffee works for me.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm wondering is that issue of, you know, sometimes when you drink it, noticing the stomach consequences. Do you notice the same things when you do have the time to get in solid food with it?
I'm going to try that, and I will be reporting back to you because I've only done it once with other food.
Because my humble guess would be you'd have an easier time afterwards if there was solid food in there as well.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Yeah. I poured Maalox in with it too. Does that matter? I went,
That might be
Dumb and Dumber style.
That might be the issue. But yeah, man, I've recently taken to experimenting with Bulletproof coffee myself. Use usually local beans. You know, I'm a coffee snob, so I usually get top-notch beans, recently roasted, all that good stuff. Grind them up, and then I haven't tried MCT oil yet. I don't have any on hand. I've been sticking with the grass-fed butter. I'll use a brand called Organic Valley pasture-raised from Whole Foods. It's worked out pretty well. So one question maybe on some listeners' minds right now is, how much? So Dr. Champ, I know you said you use a good amount. What does a good amount mean to you?
So, I use The butter we get is it's a double stick. So if I translate to a stick of butter, I put about, depends on what I'm aiming for, but about a third of a stick in. Sometimes
a third of a single stick?
Third of a single stick.
So, or a sixth of the double stick.
A sixth of the double stick, or sometimes a half of a single stick.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. Since I've been doing it, I have such a good taste for grass. I can legitimately eat grass-fed butter like a candy bar.
Sure.
Which is probably weird to a lot of you guys out there, but, you know, sit tight because in a year or two, you're gonna be doing the same thing.
It's like we talk about that progression of foods, right? Something that would seem out of our realm 2 years ago, we're now chowing down on.
I don't do it in public. I'll probably get arrested, but.
So what do you do? Do you blend it? Do you put it in a cup?
I just make the coffee. I put it in a cup, pour the coffee in, stir it around till it melts. And then I add a little bit of cream. And when butter melts, it's not a viscous, it's not that thick as you would think.
I got a suggestion for you.
Sure.
Blend it.
Okay.
I tried it both ways. The melting in a cup, it comes out okay. When you blend it and you get a little foam or froth in there, it comes out awesome. I don't know what, maybe it just evens it out a little bit more throughout the cup. Mm. But I really noticed a significant difference. So I used like that little magic bullet blender, blend it up for literally 10, 15 seconds, comes out again with that froth on top.
And I'm going to try some whey protein in there too.
Sure. Why not?
All right. Well, there you have it. But if you tolerate a good breakfast out there for the listeners, I don't do well with carbs in the morning, no matter what.
Yep.
And really at this point, a lot of my carbs are around workout time. I try to get in some good fat sources. You know, whether that's eggs. The thing I've been doing a lot lately, too, if I have time, I'll just throw some bacon on a pan.
Sure, sure.
And it gets pricey. But, you know, if I'm working out hard,
right,
got to do it.
Get it in.
Yeah.
I want to say, too, I think there may be some people out there crinkling their noses or their ears at this. I really do think it is. I've been talking to some people in the studio about it, and I do get some of those double takes or weird glances, and it's become this viral topic within studio walls. But I will say this. If you've ever had a latte before, when you blend it, it is nothing more to me than a better tasting latte, period. So I hope that, you know, puts the taste ball game or the texture ball game in perspective. I think sometimes when you think of butter, you think of that, you know, dense stick.
Yeah, it's not.
It
not
really
like
comes
that.
Out like a latte texture. And I do think it's better tasting than a latte, so there's no lose there.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, we had a listener that asked about...
Yes, listener question. So to go along, maybe not solely with the breakfast ball game, but something that I'm sure could go for breakfast. The question goes like this, comes from a man named Ken. I don't have a lot of time at work, so I want to pre-make a shake of some kind to take with me and store in the fridge. Something with tons of calories, yet paleo. What can I make and take it to store?
What do you think? I'll let you grab the bull by the horns on this one.
Dense, high caloric options like I think we're going to agree on this, coconut oil.
Coconut oil, yeah.
That could lead the discussion here.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I do throw it in my shakes and I don't notice much GI upset. So the food buffer is probably a huge thing. But yeah, coconut oil. I have yet to try actually putting butter in, but if you put it in the fridge, it's probably going to solidify again, so that may not work out so well.
Right.
I've started throwing nutrient dense veggies in.
Uh-huh.
So you know you can throw some kale in.
Yep.
Whatever else kind of fancies.
Would you consider throwing some sort of a protein powder in there?
I do. I like whey protein powder. You know, I did a interview last weekend with Carrie Nosler on the Wide World of Health, mm-hmm. and we chatted beforehand, and we went back and forth on, you know, vitamins, supplements.
Sure.
And I said how many angry comments we get when we talk about protein shakes. And you just got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. And even for this reader, maybe it's that or he doesn't eat.
Right.
You know, we don't know what he does. I know people that have to get up at 4 a.m, sure. Surgeons that are in the OR for 8. You got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. And I think whey protein is a good way to get your protein in, especially if it's, you know, cold filtered, whey concentrate. Grass-fed cows, you know, it's a pure substance. That's my long-winded answer for I'm all for it.
How about the base to the shake? Thinking like a coconut milk, maybe.
Or I do water.
But I mean, if you're looking to get a huge dose of calories.
Yeah, that's a I mean, you're going to get some more sugar in there.
Yeah.
But it's one way to do it. Maybe some like kefir type fermented.
Yeah.
Fermented milk, not regular milk.
Yep.
Is another way to get the calories up. And then, you know, throw some avocados on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Get creative with the spices too.
Yeah.
Something that complements the flavor as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. When you have a free rein of calories, when you're looking to go high caloric in a shake, you can get a pretty flavorful thing going. It might, if you're trying to suck it all down in one sitting and you're looking to go like a 1,000-calorie plus shake, I mean,
yeah,
maybe tough, but.
I've heard sweet potatoes, I've never done it. I know people that put sweet potatoes in too. I don't know.
Huh.
It all.
That's the first I'm hearing of
it. All, yeah. I've never done it, so.
So basically, just take your paleo cupboard, put it in a blender.
Pretty much.
Hit go and take it to work.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, try everything. You never know.
Yeah.
I thought kale would taste like garbage in a. After blending it up, and it was fine. So
yeah.
All right.
So hope that helped.
Yeah.
Start with coconut oil, depending on how high caloric, depending upon how what your carb tolerance is, you might want to consider using a base like coconut milk. What else? Experiment with spices. Yeah, maybe throw some dense veggies in there. Maybe consider a sweet potato.
And if you're not going to throw it in the fridge, maybe throw in some butter.
Throw in some butter and
bacon.
And lastly, maybe a solidly sourced protein.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
So I have a very interesting article I want to bring up. And if you're driving and you're tired, you might want to switch on some music right now because I'm going to put you to sleep.
Ignore the podcast for the next 5 minutes.
So we discussed really quickly an article by a guy that I bring up a lot, Michael Ristow. And he basically showed that glucose restriction extends life in C. elegans and worms. And, you know, it's like everything nowadays extends life in these worms. And caloric restriction, which is a big topic, there's that whole society that's the caloric restriction society. That's their big thing, is to extend longevity. You know, I think if you're calorically restricted, you might not want to live that long because you're miserable.
You're miserable anyway.
But nonetheless, so we presented that article and I got a bunch of emails like, it's worms. Who cares? It's worms. And I agree. But one thing Ristow talks about is this thing called AMP kinase, AMPK. And what AMP kinase is, it's a very important gene because it's actually upregulated when you restrict glucose. And that's why Ristow might think that kind of comes into play in terms of increasing longevity. The other thing is, for those of you that were at Ancestral Health Symposium, Rob Wolf talked a lot about metformin and doing metformin and these firefighters. And metformin's actually getting run now in a bunch of cancer trials. And metformin works by not only sensitizing you to insulin, so it decreases blood glucose per se, it pulls it into cells, etc. But it actually ramps up AMP kinase. And AMP kinase blocks this thing called mTOR. And there's a bunch of drugs out right now, very expensive, some kidney cancer drugs, some other drugs, that stop this. So this is a huge target for cancer. And the reason I'm babbling on about this target, it does a couple other things. It increases glycolysis, it increases breakdown of fats.
Okay.
It stops gluconeogenesis, which is basically raising your blood glucose level. Basically, if you're calorically restricted or glucose restricted, you kind of think you're running out of energy and your body panics, so it starts doing some other things. So why does this matter? First and foremost, another way to amp up AMP kinase is to exercise. And one study I'm gonna list on here, they actually looked at some overweight and type 2 diabetic subjects and normal subjects, and they found that one surefire way to amp it up is to exercise. But those that have some insulin insensitivity, like type 2 diabetic subjects, they actually have to do higher intensity to stimulate the AMP kinase.
Interesting.
So once again, we keep referring to this high intensity exercise. Well, now it looks like high intensity exercise, it's actually hitting some of these very important targets towards longevity, towards fighting cancer. And even more interestingly, this is kind of what I'm getting to. Michael Eads recently posted on this. So this group put people on a study where they calorically restricted them, and I'll just be really brief, half were high fat, low carbohydrate, and then half were reversed. And they saw that AMP kinase was increased, which we know. If you calorically restrict people,
right,
their energy levels go down. The very interesting thing about this article is then another group, they did the opposite. They told them to eat more calories, and they told them to eat a lot more calories. I think it was about 40%. And half of them were on low carb, which we know of, and then half were not. And interestingly, none of them actually gained weight when they came back a month later for follow-up, so we can talk about that all day. But the very interesting thing is the low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet actually reduced the phosphorylation of AMP kinase. And even though they were overeating, the group that cut carbohydrates still had AMP kinase increased. And this is kind of what we got with that worm study.
Yep.
And this is, and I actually just gave a talk yesterday on this at Ohio State University about this is one way to do all these things that caloric restriction does, all these pathways. And I could, I actually posted a picture of them in my autophagy post. And to get autophagy ramped up, you can do it without cutting all your calories and really torturing yourself. You can do it by just cutting carbohydrates, and you're going to have to cut some protein too and eat mostly fat. So this, go ahead. Sorry, I'm babbling on here.
No, I was going to say you've used a lot of big words, my friend. So let's pull all this back for a second. So AMP kinase, upregulating it has some anti-aging impact, correct?
Anti-aging impact, anti-cancer impact.
Okay.
And anti-obesity impact.
That's a great trifecta.
Yeah.
Right? So the things that have been shown to upregulate AMP kinase are caloric restriction is number one, and that's just across the board reducing your calories.
Yeah. Especially fasting.
But as you said, that could make a pretty miserable individual.
Yeah.
Number two, you could upregulate your AMP kinase through eating a high-fat, maybe low-glucose, low-carbohydrate diet.
Yep.
But maybe someone's not ready for that either. Maybe they're, you know, low to moderate carbohydrate, and they're not going to get that full benefit. Number three, and the one that I'm most intrigued by, is you pointed out that high-intensity exercise can upregulate AMP kinase. And I think that's something that almost every listener can get behind. And I'm smiling right now because I'm thinking, hey, clients, do you hear this? This is yet another reason why when you're, you know, maybe questioning the intensity of a workout, this is another reason to get those short bursts, you know, super intense.
Absolutely. And you'll upregulate it if you do that kind of chronic endurance, beat yourself up exercise, but we all know the issues that come with that.
Yeah.
The heart issues or whatnot. So, you know, those are really the three big ways to do it. And for those of you guys that are out there doing low carb, the diet in here was actually 30% carbs. And I think it was 60% fats. That's not crazy.
Okay, so that's right within the realm of reason. I don't know too many people on a paleo approach that are eating 30% carbohydrate.
Yeah, so that's even higher than a lot of us are. So this is good news. And we don't know, you know, maybe if you go lower, it won't work as well. But, you know, the mice or the worm data says otherwise. So this is a good topic, and hopefully it keeps rolling. They do some more studies on it, especially in the world of cancer.
Well, that's really interesting, man. So I kind of poo-pooed the low carb for a second, just thinking they were talking about more of a ketotic approach.
Mm-hmm.
But that, hey, 30%, that's right within, that should be within every listener's wheelhouse. Yeah. So, all right. So you now have two very viable pathways to upregulate AMP kinase and maybe get some of these benefits.
And to just kind of beat a dead horse here, it's another reason why the standard American diet and the recommendations of 55% carbs or whatnot, when there's a plethora of diseases sprouting up and more cancer, you know, left and right, it's pretty obvious as to why.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Anyway, thanks for the wrap up there. You know, I babble on, and that's what Roger's great. He just kind of sums it up.
Dude, we do this together for a reason. I'm sure that there are probably some listeners out there who are rolling with you, and then when I get on, they're like, oh man, here comes Captain Obvious again.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll try and please both groups.
We ready to do some takeaways?
I think so.
All right. Go for it.
All right. Exercise. So I guess this is as good a time as any to bring up a very upsetting fact for us that we just realized that we're going to have to take a week break. The first ever week break from Relentless Roger and the Caveman Doctor. And it's all due to some conflicting vacations and the Labor Day holiday and yada, yada, yada. You don't want to hear our excuses, but just know here and now that we will be taking next week off, and we will be back the following week. So we will miss you. But one of the reasons for it is my own vacation. Marissa and I, we're going away to the Poconos. And we're going to use the time to get off the grid. We're going to grab a place on a lake with a kayak and hiking and a grill and just really decompress. I wanted to bring up exercise on the road. I think it's common sometimes to say, well, I'm on vacation. Let me just forget about the exercise. I'll pick it up when I get back. I know personally speaking that whenever I do that, I'm always frustrated when I get back. I'm always asking myself the question, why did I do that? You know, it made so much sense to me at the time, but why did I do that? Not that you have to go full bore or hardcore on the road, but even just getting that one workout or those two workouts, sometimes that makes all the difference. And so, you know, going up to the lake, we're just going to throw a TRX band in the car. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's a suspension trainer. You can kind of hang it from a tree or a pole or something like that, and you can do all sorts of bodyweight exercises. Might bring a jump rope, and then you'd better believe we're going to leverage things like the hiking trails and the lake itself and the kayak, you know, paddling around the lake. And just by the end of it, we'll have gotten our solid dose of exercise in. So I would encourage that. Even if you're going to some insanely amazing resort or a vacation like that, just finding that time for one simple workout might make all the difference.
Nice. I was originally going to talk about amp kinase workouts and ramping it up, and then I was in a roll there, and then I read the study. But yeah, big thing for me right now, when the end of summer comes, my workouts just start to suffer, and it's happening again. It happens every year. I don't know. It's like seasonal affective disorder or something.
Is that because summer's going away, or is it because summer is peaked out and the temperature's hot?
I don't know. I think because summer's going away, my work's picking up.
Okay.
And I've gone to the gym and had a lot of, sometimes I get there, I start working out, and I literally want to turn around and go home.
Huh.
And I've found that I'm a heavyweight guy. I love lifting heavy weights. Sometimes, call a spade a spade, this workout's going to stink.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes in, or, you know, 10 minutes in, this is terrible. I just kind of, I shift the weights down and just do a quick, you know, 20 minute kind of all out. Get my AMK ramped up type of workout.
That's going to be the next supplement chain of the world, by the way. Someone's going to come out there with a product called AMK. Maybe it already exists.
Maybe we're going to come up with that product. It's going to get you jacked. Yeah. So, you know, if you're with me and it's just kind of a bad time of the year, it's still better being in there than nothing. And, you know, just get in there and try to at least get a sweat going. Just get yourself ramped up for 10, 20 minutes, and then get out and just figure it out the next day.
Sometimes that's huge, man. I like that point a lot. Sometimes just keeping the groove greased, so to speak, you know, if you're used to getting a workout in, yeah, maybe you don't feel top notch, and respond to your body by decreasing the time. Maybe that's the right move. Maybe decreasing the intensity that day is the right move. But yeah, there's something to be said for keeping the groove greased and keeping yourself in that habit.
Yeah.
So awesome, man. Nutrition time.
Nutrition. My big one, bone broth. Part of the reason I've been feeling down, you know, I'm like, I need some more minerals. I need some more vitamins.
Yeah.
Great recipe by Laura Pappas. And I get a, you know, fifth of a cow from a local farmer.
Yep.
And he gives me all these spare bone parts, thinks I'm nuts for taking them, but, just, you know, throw them in a crock pot or boil them over for a day or so. I'll post the recipe. It's a great way to get some salt intake too, for those of you guys out there that are really low carb. You know, and I repeat, for those that are very low carb, ketotic, if you're hitting the wall, salt may be something you want to turn to.
Yep.
It's commonly what they do for very low carb people. And this is a good way to get it in with a bunch of vitamins and minerals and some collagen. So bone broth, if you haven't done it, do it.
I heard some empty promises of bone broth for a podcast.
You know, I had it and I forgot to give you some last time. I'm going to make some more.
Man.
I'm going to make some more. You'll get it.
I got to return the favor for the crap that I took early on in this podcast for not giving you some.
Yeah, exactly.
But then
yeah.
It finally happened. So
now we're even.
I trust you, man.
What do you got?
I got a very, very simple one. Just change things up occasionally. I was in a groove of just going to Whole Foods and kind of grabbing their fresh guacamole, fresh made guacamole, which is fantastic, but it got a little monotonous, and for some out there, it might get a little expensive because, I mean, they price it up a little bit if they're making it in-house. And I just went back to fresh avocado. I was over there for whatever reason. They had a huge bin of avocados. It caught my eye. I grabbed a few. They felt really ripe. So I'm like, all right, let me try this today. I threw some fresh sliced avocado on some grass-fed burgers over salad, and it was awesome. It went really, really well, and so now I'm on a fresh avocado kick. So I know that's simple and maybe silly, but just if you're in a groove and maybe you're getting tired of something, even switching to another form of it might spruce you right back up.
Nice.
Caveman Corner.
Ready? Let's do it. So recently, we're at Ancestral Health Symposium.
Yeah.
I met Tyler there. He's a listener. Comments on some of my posts on my website.
Yep. Just
a cool guy. It was awesome to meet him in person. And he recently commented, I wrote an article about sleep and about your pineal gland and melatonin secretion. Basically, it's called Sleeping Away Cancer, and how there's, you know, strong evidence if you don't get enough sleep, there's a pretty good reason you can't fight cancer as well, because when you sleep, you create this thing called melatonin. You guys have all heard of it. It fights cancer. There's a lot of studies that show it. And so I wrote an article on that, and Tyler made a good comment where this is kind of the part of the paleo and the new health movements that people forget about. Everyone's about exercising and fixing your diet, but if you're not sleeping well and if you're very stressed, you know, it doesn't matter the changes you're going to make. And, you know, we've all experienced this personally, you and I, I'm sure a lot of the listeners, but, you know, get your mental health in gear too, and do what you need to do to get to that point. And if it's, you know, turning the TV off or whatnot, get your sleep and repair and regenerate.
You know, it's amazing, man. Sometimes that stuff, I'm going to try to make sense of this. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to someone until it does.
Mm.
And I feel like myself included, go through these phases sometimes where it's like stress, whatever. I can just muscle through this, take on more, take on more, take on more. And then all of a sudden, one day, completely out of the blue, the system starts breaking down. It's like, wow, I've never had to worry about this before. But now, you know, hey, my diet's perfect. My workouts are perfect. But something's wrong, and things just start breaking down. And I think that's where stress can really insidiously and horribly get the best of you.
Make yourself do stuff. I mean, I got tickets to the Phillies game, and I was not going to go because I'm like, I can write a paper at night. You just got to make yourself do those kind of things and deal with it.
Like Dr. Champ said the other week, you know, listen to an audiobook or a podcast or something.
Yeah.
Get yourself walking and just shut your mind off for a little while, meditate, do whatever you need to do to
take advantage of the rest of summer.
Exactly.
Relentless Report, what do you got?
Yeah, so this follows up well with the whole stress piece. And this was an article fresh off the presses from Mark Sisson of Mark's Daily Apple, and it's called IE, The Power of Intermittent Euphoria. And he brings up a topic, he defines intermittent euphoria. Let me see if I can find this here. Basically, it's just a way to get outside of your comfort zone, be in awe of something, you know, like the Grand Canyon. Let's see, I've got a quote for you here. They bring us to extreme levels of risk or exertion, creativity or collective belonging. In form, they can range dramatically. Example given, observing the aurora borealis, climbing a taller or more challenging mountain, surfing an immense wave, spending time in vastly different culture, creating music or art in an awe-inspiring landscape, witnessing a massive animal migration, volunteering in a natural disaster area, or scaling the side of a rocky cliff. In purpose, they challenge us and move us in staggering ways. In effect, they change us. They reset us emotionally. So, Dr. Champ, when's the last time you had an instance of intermittent euphoria?
It's been a while. Probably mountain climbing in Arizona, rock climbing in Arizona.
Yeah.
That was in January, so.
That's...
No, actually... My brother's wedding in Monterey, Mexico, when the pilot missed the runway and
Whoa.
And had to take back off.
Can you call that intermittent euphoria?
I guess that wasn't intermittent euphoria. That was
else. I guess when it took back off.
Yeah. But euphoria. No, when you read that, I was thinking about, you know, going out to in Phoenix, and then we drove out to Sedona, around there.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. We went to the Grand Canyon too. Get out of your environment. Go somewhere else.
That might be
force yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. For myself, it might be the same exact environment, Sedona and the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
Maybe my last example of that. My favorite example of that was my trip to Japan five years ago. I guess it's 5 years ago. And just completely getting out of the comfort zone, doing a midnight climb of Mount Fuji and watching the sunrise from above the clouds. You know, those moments are so few and far between sometimes that, reading this article made me want to go to a Japan, you know, to do something so different, like Mark Sisson says, awe-inspiring.
Everyone get out there and take a vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Get outside yourself, get outside the routine, your common habits, and try something new.
And get some sleep.
And get some sleep while you're at it, exactly.
Episode 15 in the books.
In the books.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We'll try to make it a little less.
Yep.
But everyone have a good week.
Yeah, have a good 2 weeks. Have a happy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Because that's coming up. And let's say goodbye to summer properly.
Sounds good.
I guess summer technically ends.
We still got a little bit of time.
Late September, but I always think of it as, once we cross into September, I always think of it as being over.
In the next podcast, we won't be wearing white anymore.
That's right.
So there, we'll go with that.
Dr. Shane, you could take all style.
Is that right?
All style considerations. I'll stick to my gym attire.
Sounds good. Appreciate that.
All right, everybody. Episode 15 done. See you in 2 weeks for episode 16. For Relentless Roger and Dr. Champ, adios.